Okay, everybody. So we met several weeks back, and we had our first part of the meeting due to time. We were only able to deal with nominations, and so today we will be working on the second half of our meeting, which is our budget. It was brought to my attention that possibly there might be somebody requesting from a nomination, and what I'm told, according to the bylaws, that would not be legal. But I put that before you, and maybe Rob, you were the one that brought this to my attention, so if you want to speak to this before we get started, that would be great.
Yes. When we had the annual meeting, we did the nominating process, and we filled a complete slate of people. After that, Jennifer Dahler resigned from trustees, creating an opening. The bylaws are pretty clear to state that if an opening occurs after the nomination process or after the annual meeting, then the appropriate board appoints the other person. On the other hand, because we've got an extended annual meeting, this is clearly a grey area. So if someone would like to nominate, my suggestion would be that we accept nominations for the open position on trustee, but then go to the Board of Trustees for a vote.
So does everyone understand, I guess, is there a candidate for nomination for that seat as trustee?
Sydney?
Yes. Speak of the angel. Mr. Cullinan, would you accept the position?
Mr. Lawson.
Second. Okay, thank you. So that will go to the Board of Trustees for official. Okay, then. I don't think there'll be a problem, Steve. Thank you.
Yeah, that was exactly what Rob just stated, actually. Yeah, he did. And so, without further objection, I would defer that vote from the trustees at their next meeting with the nomination of Steve Cullinan, unless I hear any others for that position.
Just point of order, I think it should be clear that if somebody else comes up and wants to consider the position, we can also still do it. They don't happen to be here. That if somebody comes to me and says, I'd like it, then the trustees can actually address that too.
Great
I think
point.
That would be acceptable since we're
in consideration to our hearing impaired folks, and as a request that came from the previous half of the annual meeting, if anyone speaks, if they could kindly use a microphone, and if someone could run one of these around, that would be great. But we have at least two. Thank you.
I'll kind of hold it back there,
actually. And what you can do is push that, and it's muted, okay. And then you push it again, the light on, and it's live.
Okay.
Rob, can you give us another microphone? You have to have a microphone. Talk.
So does everyone understand the procedure if there was another candidate before the trustees meeting? When do the trustees meet next?
It's the
third Thursday of the month.
4 to 6.
From 4 to 6. So if there is somebody, another candidate for the position of trustee, it would be for the trustees to decide between Mr. Cullinan or any other candidates that might come forth that would like that position. But we'll leave this in the hands of the trustees to appoint the vacancy. Okay. Okay, Michelle Cohen, our clerk, would like to read the minutes quickly of the first part of our annual meeting.
Thank you. Okay. Just so we're all caught up, because last that first half was all about the nominations, and there was only a couple other things, but I just want everyone to know where we stand in case anyone missed the last meeting. First, we had a discussion about the meeting being recorded. We did make the decision that we did want to record the meeting and that the recording would be kept in the parish house and online. And then the first thing of order was to nominate Bruce as the moderator and Steve as assistant, and that was fine. Thank you. And this meeting is also being recorded unless there is a strong objection. Anybody? Conversation? Okay. And the other people that had been nominated was myself for clerk, Peter Allen for treasurer, Linda Conley for assistant treasurer, Barbara Harlan for historian, the deacons, Peter Allen, Michelle Cohen, Linda Conley, Kitty Perullo, Felicia Sartell, and Vivian Wills. The trustees, Sandy Bonatti, Vicki Mellon, Sydney Thomas, Rob Wills. The missions committee, Michelle Cohen, Maureen Cullinan, Barbara Thorngren, Rob Wills. The PPR, Vicki Mellon, Sydney Thomas, Vivian Wills, and Kitty Perullo. The nominating committee, Kate Dean, Felicia Sartell, Sydney Thomas, Christian Ed, Bessie Cummings, Kara Nichols, Felicia Sartell. The music committee, Steve Cullinan, Kate Dean, Vivian Wills. Flower committee, Bessie Cumming, Donna Quinn, Priscilla Weston. Stewardship, Peter Allen, Kitty Perullo, Rob Wills. Building committee, Steve Cullinan, Jim Lawson, and they're appointed by the trustees. And ladies and delegates we found were appointed. And I think that was, let me just double check. And that was, oh, and I was cradle roll of the superintendents. They made me do that one. All right, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Pete O'Wine is also on the building committee.
I'm sorry, Bill Pete? Okay, it was not. Thank you. I will double check on the recording as well. Appreciate it.
Keith O'Wine on the building committee. Okay, everyone should have a revised copy of the budget. If you do not, they're up here in the front, and we can give you these right now if you do not. Okay. So at this time, let's call Peter Allen, our treasurer, the trustees have asked him to please speak to the budget.
Thank you all for coming. My name is Peter Allen, obviously. I'm the newly elected treasurer. I just want to read a little preamble here before we discuss the budget. A couple things. I first want to acknowledge, since I've been the treasurer and the newly elected trustees, I want to acknowledge the invaluable assistance of a few members. First, I'd like to thank Rob Wills for an extraordinary effort, energy, time. He's put together everything you see, all the paperwork, all the spreadsheets that we've studied for the last 3 or 4 weeks. He's extraordinarily energetic, knowledgeable about computers, electricity, accounting. He's invaluable to me as a treasurer in terms of getting our hands around the various RBC accounts and the various accounts the church depends on for its income. I'd also like to a hearty thank you to Sandra Bonatti, who has been a trustee for so long. She knows a lot of the things we're looking at, and we have no idea what we're talking about. And she says, well, that happened in 2002, and this is the reason why. And this is also invaluable for us to go forward and know what we're doing. Having said that, I want to explain some what we consider to be the fundamental aspects of our church, and that is in terms of its finances, since we're talking about finances. We are a nonprofit 501(c) corporation certified in the state of New Hampshire. And because we are certified in the state of New Hampshire, we are legally bound by its laws, one of which is this RSA 292, which holds us to the highest levels of accountability. Most important of these laws is the duty and legal obligation that we, as officers of the church, act in good faith. This idea of good faith is actually a legal term, and it means we are duty-bound to act in temple's best interests. And by best interest, the law means we have a fiduciary responsibility. Fiduciary is not a term that means money. It means the best interests of the church, to adhere to and act according to the laws of our great country, the IRS laws, the laws of the state of New Hampshire, and the bylaws of our congregation, the bylaws of the congregation that has voted on our bylaws. So I mention all this because our bylaws state very clearly that the governance of this church is vested in its members. And that is in, and that the congregation makes all the decisions governing our church. And this is Article Number 4. And we, as trustees and treasurer, have the, and this is also in the bylaws, have the care and custody of the property of the church and the and its financial affairs, subject to the direction of the annual meeting, Article 6, Section G. And I say this because I want to clearly outline to you that we as trustees and treasurer are legally bound to act according to the limitations of the budget you are now voting for and will consider. As trustees and treasurers, all of our meetings are announced publicly. They are open to the public. And as such, all of our minutes are public documents, and they will be posted in the parsonage. Anybody can come read them anytime they want to. And as such, we are collectively... We vote, as trustees and treasurer, we vote on the allocation of monies, and we do so only in our public meetings, except if we have executive sessions where there's some private issue that needs to be done. But those executive sessions will only be created in a normally public session so that everybody is aware that that's taking place. And most importantly, any and all exceptional budgetary requirements beyond the small maximum threshold, not specified in the budget you approve today, must, and I repeat, must be brought before the congregation for approval. Just a little bit more here and then we can get going. And for that purposes, we can call a special meeting as outlined in our bylaws for all such requirements. Finally, I just want to introduce you to, you all know Sydney Thomas, but she is our elected chair. Rob Wills is our elected secretary. Then there's Vicki Mellon and myself, and Sandra Bonatti, who are the other trustees. We, as trustees, we have agreed to implement something that was voted on, I think, a number of years ago, and that is we will not be signing checks over $500 without dual signatures. And I mention this just to let you know that we're holding ourselves to the highest level of accountability possible, even though a lot of these things are not required by banks and or the financial institutions that we deal with. So everybody has the new budgets. The budgets that were in the annual meeting are void now because we did a lot of work over the last 3 weeks to correct them, adjust them, make sure they're all adding up, and some alterations to the 2016 budget. Okay. And I just also want to say before we go through this that you have a general idea. Our thought was that we would strive to have a balanced budget. The reason being, we all know that if we keep digging into the capital, we would eventually end up with zero money because all of the monies generated for this church, or I would say 98% of it, is by the interest and dividends that come from our investments in RBC and some other investment accounts. A very small percentage, as Sandra has pointed out, comes from actually donations from people coming to church, unlike the past where it used to be a fairly hefty amount. So with that said, let us begin. Unfortunately, I don't have a pointer. You want to? Can I say one thing? We all know that the Robert's Rule says that all questions should be addressed to the moderator. But in this case, because we are dealing with budget, I want to say that anybody can address a question to me, to Rob Wills, to Sydney Thomas, to Vicki Mellon, and Sandra Bonatti, who are the trustees that may be able to articulate more clearly how we're thinking and why we're thinking. I think, is that acceptable to everybody? I hope it is.
It's acceptable to me as moderator.
Okay. Somebody have a question?
Excuse me. Marty.
I just wanted to clarify something. Peter, when you're saying there were changes made since the last meeting, you kept saying we made some changes. Was that the trustees? Was it the finance committee? Or who was we?
Yeah. All alterations, we work exclusively collectively. And the meetings are open to the public. All of the alterations you see, when I say alterations, obviously we can't alter 2015 or the actuals of 2015. We're talking about 2016. We went through 2016 in our efforts to create a balanced budget. So we made some alterations to what Milan had in place that he'd given in the annual report at the annual meeting first half. Is that clear?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Jay?
Just so we can be clear, you say balanced budget. It seems to me my recollection is last year there was a vote to go from a balanced budget to a faith-based budget. I mean, certainly if it is the will of an annual meeting to go back to a balanced budget, then this probably is a question for the moderator rather than you, Peter. Shouldn't it be voted on by this meeting here before we dive into the budget?
Can I answer that? Is that right?
Mm-hmm, sure.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We are just, I want to be very clear, this is a proposal from the trustees. We are here to alter that column over there as much as you want. That's why we're all here. I'm sorry, that's why we're all here. This is not a fixed budget that we're saying you have to vote on. This is a budget to be discussed here and agreed upon. If the congregation wants to add more monies to various line items that we vote on, that's fine. I mean, that's, we are nothing, we are the spokesman persons for you. That's it. Yes, Vicki.
Yes, Vicki.
Maybe you could explain what the difference is between a faith-based budget and...
Well, I wasn't part of those deliberations last year, so I don't really know what it means. Maybe Sandy can speak to it.
Faith-based budget is what a church believes, generally. We're here by faith. It is through faith that we will raise the money. And that's happened over the years, time and time again. A balanced budget is for the business world. A church bases its money on faith, that we'll all have the faith that the money will be there. And it always has been. I see no reason to continue in any other manner.
Rob.
In general, I agree with the definition of faith-based. However, we're in a very different position here. Most churches struggle to meet their basic needs. And so it's very common. Let's say we had a $200,000 budget and we knew we'd have $150,000 from income. And we know that our offerings, as you can see on the revenue here, in the last year, were...
15,900
total. Yeah, the actual was 15,900. And in years past, when the church was stronger, and indeed, prior to the finding we had a large endowment, that number was probably closer to 40,000. But that doesn't mean that we can put out a faith-based budget and expect at the moment with our small congregation that that 15,000 number will go to 100,000. That's just not reasonable. So from a prudent point of view, whereas we understand and hope that our offerings will grow, I think from a stewardship point of view, we need to at least start with something that's close to balanced. And if we don't, and then the congregation approves, say, another $100,000 in spending, then we'll start eating into our principle. Thank you.
And if I can clarify that too, we do have investments, and those investments do well, there will be more income. And at any time, a special meeting can be called by 5 people, and we can allocate funds in those special meetings. We can adjust the budget if need be. So everything is still generated by faith to a large degree. But we thought it was our fiduciary responsibility to at least admit the fact that we do need to strive. And I think somewhere in some meeting in the last 4 or 5 years, there was a motion made that we would have a balanced budget going forward, 2011. So I'm saying all this because this is what the trustees agreed to in a meeting, and so we can discuss this as we go along. Is that fine?
Well, I think a vote would be in order on this faith-based versus balanced budget. So I would entertain a motion to do so. Yes, Rob.
I move, as we did in 2011, that the church adopt a balanced budget, but with the knowledge that if something extraordinary comes up, that we have the ability to call a special meeting and address that, and perhaps do a capital campaign or draw on our principle. Thank you.
I second that motion.
Any other questions? Yes.
Are we not going to discuss some of the issues on this budget?
Absolutely.
Well, then you're asking for a vote for the faith and for balance. Well, how can you vote on it if we haven't discussed it? Did you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
How can you vote on a balanced versus faith budget if you haven't discussed any issues on this budget that you are presenting right now?
Table the vote. Which, Rob has withdrawn his motion. So, Mr. Lawson.
No, I was just going to say that this vote is very premature. Let's decide the budget and then discuss the ramifications and the guidelines.
Okay. Okay. Good.
If everybody's any other questions, or we'll discuss the budget line items, if that's all right. So we start off with let me explain this. Here are all the categories. The actual is the first column, D. The budget authorized last year is E. F is the 2016 budget that was in the Milan had put together in the annual report. And then the G is the ones the trustees have agreed on to be a budget that we would like to support. Yes, Debbie?
I was just going to make the suggestion that you hold the microphone and it might be easier for you.
Good idea. So the first category is offerings. And in 2015, we had a budget authorized of $16,700. We had an actual of $15,906. Milan's budget was $18,250. We've taken that down to $16,250. With the understanding we don't think the offerings are going to expand that much, and we think it's a more realistic number.
Same.
The 2016 budget that was presented in the report was not made up by Milan alone.
Oh,
it was made up by all the trustees sitting around the computer with Anne Marie.
I'm sorry. I'm just saying Milan because Milan's budget was in the. He's the one that issued it to me and to us. But yes, it is a. It should be clear. This is a congregational budget that was discussed by the trustees and put together by the trustees. Yeah. So the investment income budgeted was $17,000. We actually had $33,871. The budget. We'll just call that F column the budget report versus the budget revised. The budget report's $34,000, and then the budget revised by us was $34,000, stays the same. RBC is one of the investment houses we use, where we have the bulk of our investments. And just to go to the bottom line, we had budgeted $250,000. We actually had $176,901. The report had $241,000, and we left it at $241,000. Chapel rent, we think the chapel rent might be a little bit less than it was last year, so we reduced that. The Verizon bond, whoever put the $4,000 in there, the Verizon bond is a steady income every year of $35.88. It doesn't alter because it's an annuity. Is that correct, Rob? Yeah. uncategorized revenue. We can just skip that. That was just an accounting, I will just say it's an accounting error that we're adjusting. So the total revenue budgeted last year was $288,851. It actually came in at $295,735. I want to point out that this number right here, the RBC fee, was taken out of that. It's not taken out of this, so we decided to put it here to show that it will be taken out, so that we're actually comparing similar categories. And we did this just for transparency's sake and clarity. So our total income was, net revenue was $268,566 versus the budgeted of $288,851. And we have a modest, that was from the report, and we just lowered it just a little bit, thinking that maybe the income from the investments might not be as strong. So this net income is that we're proposing $270,880, our net income. So that was revenue, and now we're going to be talking about expenditures. Christian education, I'm not going to go through every column unless everybody has any questions. We increased it. It was $890 actual last year from a $3,000 budget, so we just lifted it up to $1,100. The deacons, roughly the same thing. We had a budget of $7,500 last year. We did $6,891. The report wanted $10,300. We moved it to $9,700. And the reason it's so much higher than last year's budget is because we know we'll probably have more pulpit supply, in other words, ministers such as Reverend Stone here, who's not a us. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I wondered where pulpit supply came from. Is the part of the deacon's budget versus?
Okay,
thank you.
So that would account for the increase in that budget. Mission expenses, Rob, if you can just move it down so I can see see the bottom there. Yeah, mission expenses, we had budgeted 19 for the food bank. We actually 18.5. I'm just looking at alterations. Pastoral assistance was 7,000. We only did an actual 3,500. 10,000, 10,000 for scholarships.
Yes, Sandy.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Before we go any further, I want to speak to this because I am dead set against us reducing the food bank money. We all know that we've gone through a very hard year, a hard couple of years perhaps, and a lot of things haven't gone right. And we all know that some people have not necessarily always done the right thing. But the right thing this church does is support our food banks. And I really do not want that cut at all, not at all. The issue, it's out there. We help feed a lot of people. And I will end my little spiel here with something I found on the internet just a couple of days ago, and it seems so appropriate. If feeding a child has to pass your personal test of, but did they earn it, you have failed as a human being.
Yep,
Vicki. Marty first, and then I'll go.
Okay, Marty, Peter.
I would like to address this issue to back up Sandy, former mission chairman here. And when I took over missions, we were just giving out money to three food banks every single month, and we've been doing it for years. And my question is, how legitimate is this and what's going on? So my committee and I, representing the church, sent out surveys. I have a copy of each survey in my hand that we sent out to the three food pantries to see where they stood, how they were supported, how many families they supported, how many families from Temple that they supported. And we got those surveys back and looked them over and said, we want to talk to these people. So we invited the heads of all these food pantries into our meetings, and they were open meetings. And we invited them in to talk to us. And I cannot sit here and justify cutting those food pantry budgets. They serve Temple families, all three food pantries, the Peterborough one, the Greenville one, and the Wilton one, all support Temple families. You may not know that, but Temple are a proud people, and they don't let their neighbors know when they have to have help, and they're also too proud to ask for you in front of you. And but there are families that are helped, and this budget needs to be, I'm sorry, too loud? Okay. I'm very sorry. We cannot cut these because every year they serve more families from our area. The other reason that we shouldn't be cutting these is because the Missions Committee has been working with the Peterborough Food Pantry that turns around and supports the South Meadow Food Pantry Shadow Pantry program, which puts food into the schools. And Temple is one of the schools that takes in food from these and gives to Temple children and families over the weekends or through the summer whenever they need it, or when kids come to school without breakfast. And this, we have children in all three school systems, and this is done in all three schools. And to cut the food pantry thing would be cutting food to our kids and our neighbors. And God challenges us to feed our neighbors, be mindful of them. And that means outside of Temple borders as well. And I cannot condone cutting the food pantry budget.
Before we go any further, Rob, is there, who could I... I know, but I mean, you are next, but we have to, that volume is just a little too up, it's too up. Yeah. We can do it, testing 1, 2, testing 1, 2. I'm not saying you're loud. The microphone's up too high.
I have hearing aids too, so.
Yeah. How's that?
Hi, can you hear me? Okay. Is that good? Isn't that close enough? Okay, is that good? All right. So, hi. So as many of you know, I'm a school nurse. And I work in Antrim and Bennington, which is two of the 11 towns that we serve. I am directly, was it nine towns and 11 schools? I always get that.
Nine.
Yeah. I am directly a recipient in my schools from the food pantries and all around. And we do lots of food drives. Actually, we just had a food drive where we got 2,000 items at our school.
Don't lose
oh, thank you. And I think this is a really important mission for our church. However, because of things that we have, bills that we need to pay, I think personally, and I'm kind of a little surprised that I'm feeling this way. However, I think that keeping it like this and then looking if we have anything at the end of the budget, I know that we do have more money at the end, then maybe we can allocate some of that back up to that. I know we have $48,000. That's not allocated yet to anything. But for right now, I think keeping it like that, I think what we've done with the other food pantries is wonderful. I actually started outreach with them, Marty, having been on missions before. And I feed a lot of kids, and there are a lot of hungry people out there, a lot of very proud people out there, and we need to help them. But right now we need to pass this, and then I would like to see actually that maybe triple someday. But for right now, just to get through, and...
Jim lost the first one.
Our daughter is very active in local activities, and she said it would blow your mind if you knew how many people, particularly kids, in this area do not have enough to eat. I think the biggest sin we could commit is not helping these people when we have the way for all to do it. I make a motion that that item be returned to $18,000.
No, thank you, Jim, for that motion, but I just wanted to make a statement. You know, Vicki, you said you got 2,000 cans or whatever. I don't know how many of you people realize that when the kids, schools do a food drive, the children that are being helped from these food pantries are the kids bringing in the food, because they don't want to feel left out and they don't want people to know that they are receiving this food.
Rob?
I support returning to 18,000. 18. Yes. When Roger Daly was here as our interim minister, he asked us, I think in council, whether we were a church or a benevolent organisation. And so, whereas I strongly support this, I think going forwards, we as a church need to look at where we put our available funds. And let's face it, they're not unlimited. The food banks are very important, but some of the ideas that have come up reflect much more on Temple itself and our congregation than the greater community. For example, we have a large elderly community, and the thought has come up that we could employ a visiting nurse to go and visit the folks who are shut in or otherwise have difficulty, for example, getting out of Peterborough. So I think we should vote the budget. We should certainly, there's clear approval for having this at 18, but also the missions committee should be empowered to reach out to our church community and to explore the way that we can use our treasure. Finally, with respect to last year's work, I thank you very much for all that you've done. And as we move into the new missions committee meets, we'd ask all the past members to share their experience and teach us where to come from. Thank you.
Peter? Yeah, I just wanted to suggest that I was hoping that we would make a note of these items that we want to vote on after we've reviewed the whole budget, because there are some extraordinary things that we're going to have to look at briefly going further to give us a total picture, because we do have some extraordinary expenses that we incurred that detract from the welfare of the church. And I think Rob's point that we are a church and we have to consider the financial welfare of the church, not that we want to debilitate anybody's welfare by reducing our giving. We just want to make sure that we operate as a solidly financially, so that we can actually increase these spendings in the years ahead. That was the general thinking.
Barbara? Marty?
I just wanted to state that this food budget, these three food pantries, have been supported in this amount for many years. And many of you sitting here originally voted on this and in the years past. And now we're in even greater financial difficulties across the board, everybody. And to cut this is just saying this church has no heart for the community. It doesn't care about its people, and it's not reaching out as God challenged each one of us to do. And I think it would be deplorable to vote this down.
Barbara? I think we're about to vote. Barbara?
Thank you, Marty. As a former member of the Mission Committee, Marty, I also did the work that you did. And as a member of this town for a very long time, I support the work that you did and thank the committee. And those of us who are sitting here, we're not the enemy. What we want to do is get up to date on what's been happening. We want to sit here and say we do all love the people in town and the children as you do. And we want to be able to make the decision that's the best for our group and our community now. And I thank you for that. But I really, really need you not to be angry, because I'm sitting here feeling like you're really angry at me. And I want to vote to support what you're saying, okay? But I need to be able to hear it. I need to be able to hear the facts of what you're saying. And once we hear the facts, then we can all collectively get up to date and then make the best decision possible. So thank you for your work.
I think now we've had enough deliberation on this line item, and we have a motion on the floor, and I would entertain the motion to call that question. Sandy Benatti, seconded by Richard Benatti. All in favor of calling the question, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Questions called. the line item in the budget for food banks, currently budgeted $12,000. Motion to return that to $18,000 by Jim Lawson, seconded by Sandra Minotti. That we're going to vote on that. Who was second? Jim's. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed by saying nay.
Nay.
The motion to amend the line item from 12,000 to 18,000 passes. The vote in the affirmative, and I so declare.
Continue. So we never really even discussed those columns, but that's the bottom line. So, Rob, you've returned that. So the church's wider mission. We mentioned the pastorals and scholarships. We've given away $10,000 to scholarships. We thought, deliberating with our fiduciary responsibilities, thinking that this year, to get through these extraordinary expenses and trying to get a balanced budget, that we reduce it to $5,000, and that was a unanimous vote by the trustees. Again, this is just this year. Depends on how we do, but we hope to restore these in the coming years and also discuss these scholarships more thoroughly, too. Maybe we can even increase them, but just to get through this year. Somebody had a question.
I just wanted to remind, also I'm thinking about this in the back of my head, even about the Horton Camp Scholarship, and I'm just reminding myself that if that need comes up and Missions has requests and valid reason to want to be able to fund that, which is very important, the camp scholarships as well, to calling a special meeting or being able to address that as the need presents itself. I just wanted to make that.
Anybody, any five people can call a special meeting.
Yes, Rob.
I think also you should know that our new board of trustees is not intending to micromanage, and so in my view, it would be fine if the missions committee decided amongst themselves and then informed trustees and informed the church that they would request to, say, move some of the money, for example, from our church's wider mission or one of the other line items here. For example, it would be totally appropriate, in my opinion, to use some of the scholarship money to support the Horton Camp Scholarship. Largely, small changes in a larger category for a committee should be largely up to the committee, but should probably go past trustees. In general, we don't want to micromanage.
Marty?
Just so you know, the Missions Committee, just before we changed committees, would support dropping the $1,000 or the $2,000 for the camp scholarships, simply because when we did that a couple of years ago, we had seven or eight youth, and we also had two or three little ones who were coming into 6 years of age, old enough to go to camp. And as we stand right now, or we have this past year, we've lost every single one of them. So why have Camp Horton in the budget? Because those are for our students here at the church.
Wanted to say that that's exactly the conversation we had with the trustees. It was brought to our attention by Sandra, and that's why we zeroed it out. And again, Rob's point is these monies can be reallocated within the budgetary limit.
Jim Lawson.
Peter, just a suggestion. I really think we should work this out today. You're suggesting of special meetings. You're going to special meeting us to death.
Amen.
I mean, already I can see a case for six or eight special meetings. I think that's not a good crutch.
If I can answer, it's not a crutch. It's a viability. It's the way the church operates, and it has the mechanism which to address these things. We're just making these recommendations from our deliberations. This isn't what we're telling you guys to do. You decide what you want to do. These are just our recommendations. If you want to alter these now, alter them. But we're not stopping you. We're just saying that if these are, seem reasonable, let's vote on them. If time, if something extraordinary comes up, a family moves in town, they won't have three kids and they want to go to Horton, we don't have the funds for it, and we can't get them anywhere else, maybe we can have a special meeting. It's a special meeting, we can meet in Friendship Hall, all we need is a quorum of eight people. I mean, this is not a, this isn't, you know, it's not like a General Assembly of the state of New Hampshire.
Vicki.
I'd like to address that too. So we're not saying that that's not, right now, right, we don't have any meeting right now. We will, because we're going to work, and we are. And so, like Peter said, if someone moves into town or whatever, we can have a special meeting quick, and let's get some camp funds. And so it's not saying we're not going to do that. But right now, let's not, if we can, you know, crunch it there. And then as far as what Rob was saying, you know, so the deacons, I mean, the missions have $32,000. Sort it out how you want to spend it, basically, you know, and then if you need more after that, then come to meeting.
Just, I think if I can clarify one thing, it's just for those of you that don't know about special meetings. It's a very specific thing. You have to announce what the meeting's about, and then you go to the meeting and you vote on that item. That item, you go home and you have your dinner. It's a 10-minute meeting, a 15-minute meeting. The discussions, you vote, you go. So it's an extremely important mechanism for congregational churches to allow the congregation to gather at any time to address extraordinary circumstances outside of the budget.
Okay. I'll be brief. The reason we have a budget, is everyone clear on why we're doing a budget?
Yes.
The bottom line is we're not authorizing the trustees to write checks for more than these amounts. If the missions committee decide to have a little vacation in the Caribbean and charge out $50,000, that would not be okay, right? And so, the reason for a budget is that we, the people here, approve individual committee expenditures and a total bottom line. And the reason for that is we're stewards of our endowment. And we don't want, for example, an extra $100,000 expenditure, even if, let's say, we had to re-roof this building suddenly, let's say a hurricane came through. If that happened, the appropriate thing would be not that the trustees say, write a check. The appropriate thing would be to call a special meeting because it would be above budget and then we'd spend $100,000.
Yeah. We need to.
Yeah. Everybody had their say?
Yes.
Okay. So so that is why this budget is what it is, from $32,000, $48,000 last year, because we reduced the scholarships. We reduced the pastoral assistance fund because we're not probably going to have a pastor right away, so we know those funds will be lower. So if we can, if everybody's satisfied with that, we can move on to the next education and professional development. Rob, can you roll that up the screen, roll up a little bit? And that was, can you explain, Rob, why that was zeroed out? Remember, do we put that fund? And then we just hadn't made the alteration here. When we discussed this in the trustee meeting, we were going to have one category for all education. Then we realized that wouldn't be fair to the various committees because the deacons might want to go to some special meeting and use all the budget, and then nothing would be left. So we want to allocate, we decided we would allocate funds to every committee that might require educational funds.
They're in the individual things.
Oh, I see. We put them, okay, to clarify, we've taken them out of here, and we put them into all the individual committee budgets, deacons, etc., just to clarify.
Sammy?
I believe that's true, except for the trustees. You allotted nothing for the trustees.
Okay. So we just put $200 into the trustees.
$200 into the trustees.
Yeah. If everything is, anybody have any comments about that? They don't. We'll just move on. We've got a church operations. Again, last year, $10,000 was budgeted. We spent $16,000 because you can see we had extraordinary fuel and expenses for both propane and fuel oil. My understanding is That was because we locked ourselves in with a contract at higher prices and in a falling market. With the insight of Sandra Bonatti and other people, there we have better contracts this year, not that I've seen them, and so we're expecting that to drop. So the report budget's 18,000, but we don't think it's going to be that because of the contracts. We've reduced it down 12,000, which seems to be much more reasonable based on the contracts and our usage. So I will say that we haven't examined, we're going to examine the usage, number of gallons and things like that, just to see if this is a little bit more accurate, but it seems to be a good educated guess as of now. Telephone, comparable, going all the way down. We see legal counsel, we've moved that to 2,500. I just want to briefly say here, we do have some outstanding bills that we have agreed as the trustees not to address these outstanding legal bills right now, because we are going through a facilitation process with this lady, Margaret Kaiser, who I think, if any of you have spoken to, is an extraordinary facilitator and mediator. And so we, since it's a fairly complicated issue from the legal bills that the church and the petitioners acquired this year, so we decided that we would wait through that facilitation process, go through all the discussions of it, and then call a special meeting to address those particular legal bills and do so with a line item, as we've mentioned before, where the special meeting enables us to do that.
Mr. Lawson.
I have a question on the bus item. I think the bus is one of the best assets we have here to get it back on the road, programs for the elderly, programs for everyone. $350 is hardly going to cover the maintenance of the fuel. Is there a different item for bus use?
Does somebody, I'd like to make a motion that we increase that to $1,000. Does anybody? Vicki seconds that. Mm-hmm. Does anybody? I'd like to. Anybody have a discussion about that?
No.
Hey, everybody,
Steve.
Does anybody have a question?
Okay. Can we just vote on that one line item?
Sure. Let's call the question. I want to call the question. Sandy.
Yeah.
Sandy, can you call the question? Seconded by Marty. All those in favor, call the question. Signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. The motion is to increase the line item for bus from $350 to $1,000. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. To vote in the affirmative, I assume declared.
Peter, I just had a question. I'm not sure if everyone, all the members understand the extraordinary amount of money that was spent last year on this, on the dismissal of the members.
Well, our general thought is when we met as the trustees and we collectively agreed, we had a unanimous vote, that this is a difficult issue, and therefore we did not want to discuss it in the annual meeting. We wanted to let the facilitator facilitate all those discussions of that and then bring it up in great detail, or however it's going to be discussed, in a special meeting, just so that we can get through the budget here, because we think it's a complex issue to raise right here.
That was, so you don't want to say what the number is?
I'd rather not right now. I'd rather get through facilitation, if that's acceptable to everybody. That's the general feeling of the trustees, that we would wait and go through facilitation where all the numbers will be discussed in great detail, and Margaret Kaiser, I know, or I've been told, will have a group meeting with the whole town, and at that point, we can all discuss it publicly too, but it will be discussed in a special meeting, and it will be voted on, but there's a lot of issues that has to be addressed with those things. That was the general feeling. I mean, if we can vote to right now and discuss the nature of those bills or not, that was our general feeling, to get through an amicable and clear dealing with all the other items we have to deal with in the budget, such as food bank and things like that.
Yeah. And to address Steve's question, I think there is some validity to giving an idea of the order of the expenses that we're facing. And one of them is on the budget here in front of us, line 79, facilitator. We're spending something close to 7,000 per budget, and the reason that's higher is that Margaret may come to town and she may stay over if the meetings go late and things like that. We may budget for pizza or something like that. But
before you discuss if you're going to talk about money, I think we need to decide if we're going to talk about money because you know it's going to get needed. So
we decided we weren't going to. So
I will not say a number, yeah. But what I'll say is we need some buffer. When we get to the bottom line of this budget, we know that there will be some pretty large expenses, and so that's the intent.
Yeah.
Part of the court settlement that was made was that we are directed by the court to go through a facilitation process, and that's the place to handle this. Let's keep this meeting on a much higher level than that and not get into a difficult situation, because it's only going to make people even more hurt. We're going to deal with it in the facilitation process, which has already started, and let's keep it there.
Okay. So, where were we?
Yeah, I just want to say that Sandy is expressing the unanimous decision that we made as trustees. So we just, are we settled on that? So then we'll just, so as Rob mentioned, the facility is only about a 7,000 budget, but we realized that she might want to spend the night here and things like that, so we just add a little bit more to it. And that's pretty much it. So the last year they allocated 7,500, we used 5,600, the reports of 6,000, we're sticking with the 6,000.
Yeah, Rob.
I'd like to explain the accounting line. If you look further down, when you see office expense of $6,000, my first reaction to that is we've got to stop printing all those hymns. But it turns out that in that line was an amount for an accountant and consultant on the bookkeeping, adding up to something like $2,500 or $3,000 a year. So we think that we can do without that going ahead. But we do need some money for advice from an accountant or a financial advisor in that area. So there's now a line item for accountant rather than putting it into office supplies.
If I can just...
I'm sorry.
Is that 580 or are you down 580?
Okay. Yeah, 580. Just to clarify that, what Rob's saying is there's another line item for office supplies where in that was embedded the budget for an accountant. We're just putting it here and we're reducing it a little bit. That's just... There's nothing altering the budget significantly.
Just for my own personal, sometimes brain dead, but after line 81, there's not a total. So there's a church operations. Oh. Okay, anyway.
It's church operations. It's coming. Yeah.
Okay, it's coming. It's coming. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it is coming. I'm sorry, there's a lot under church operations. So buildings and grounds, last year allocated $30,500. I'm not sure why. They ended up paying $16,000. The report budget was $10,700. We raised it to $15,850 because we, what did we do there? We increased the general maintenance to $10,000 from what was on the report budget. And then if we can go on, office equipment, $700, that's pretty, in there is the possibility of acquiring a laser jet printer, which will cost us so much less than the inkjet printer over the period of a year. So we have, we put that in the budget there. This is a $93,000 office supplies. Again, that's where the line item was that came from the accountant up there. We took it out, and we think that's a reasonable expense for all office supplies, stewardship, the normal furnishings. We didn't think that we'd probably be buying a lot of furniture this year, given the fact that we've got some extraordinary bills to pay. So the church operations, last year's budget, 76.6, came in at 79.76. The report says 66.050, and we revised it down to 63.250. If there aren't any questions, I'll just keep moving on.
Okay.
church communications. Again, that's roughly in line. We increased printing. Oh, no, we reduced printing from last year's budget. There's $0, and I think that accommodates most of the difference, 200, 250, yeah. Website, we might redesign the website or do some work with the website. So that's fairly minor.
I know it's a small item, but the printing, why have you brought that down to as much as you have? Because I was involved in that getting printed at our annual reports, and that was kind of expensive. So I'm just wondering why that got reduced.
Sandra has an answer.
Yes, actually, our annual reports that you probably all have in your hands cost over $10 a piece to be printed this year. And what? We printed 60 of them.
Oh, and we printed them this year. So it came out of this year's budget before even go, yeah. But how about last year's budget? We haven't even had any actuals. Did we print the last year's annual report?
Yes, it's printed every year, but we've done it in the past at Copies and More in Peterborough, and they're no longer equipped to do what we want for an annual report. And we went to Staples this year, and they did it very rapidly. They did it in a matter of, overnight,
okay.
Just a matter of hours. And but it just costs a lot now for printing.
Something that if we got a laser jet printer, we could actually print ourselves.
We can't collate. I don't think we can make bind and collate. Is that, I think that's the issue.
Okay.
So if everybody, we're just going to recommend a 600 then, and thank you for the clarification. So there's a double the budget that was in the report, and a little bit less than what was budgeted last year, but more than was used. Getting down to salaries and expenses, again, I don't want to get into it. No, because it's just a recommendation.
Okay.
We haven't voted on the budget yet. We haven't, that's a good question, because we did vote on some other lines, but I think it's because those were contested.
That's right.
Yeah, contested lines, and so there was a vigorous discussion about those. Anyway, so pastor's salary, we've got it at 35,000 versus 78. I'm just going to go through the whole thing, then I'll do a brief discussion. The actual was 38 last year. We actually spent 78,388. Housing is 30, 25, 20, 19, 17. Administrative assistant, 17,000, 14. Anyway, you can see that the total last year is 114. We actually spent 146,497. If you look at the budget, the revised budget, the one that we recommend, the trustees recommend, that's 35,000. The reason is the 78,000 accommodated the package that was given to Reverend Linda High after she decided to leave the church. That's why that's so high there. Otherwise, pastor housing, because we don't think we're going to have pulpit supply for some months this year. We don't know exactly, so we've reduced that. Vicki, do you want to?
I think we're thinking of $75,000 for a base salary for if we were. That's where you get the 35 and the 18.
Yes. We made some Rob, ingenious as he is, made some calculation based on average salary, and then made a calculation based on that as a percentage, and so we came up with these numbers as being a reasonable expectation of what we might use this year based on historical averages. So I don't have all those numbers, but I think it's reasonable. But we thought it was reasonable. Again, their numbers are reduced from last year primarily, except for the Minister of Music, because we think we're going to have a pulpit supply a significant part of this year, as we have already. Ship size and nursery. Nursery attendant, we had 2,000 budgeted, but we've agreed that, we've tried to get one, and we don't think it's probably going to be that much, so that's the number we came up with. If everybody's all set with that, with no questions, pass from ministry.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I am confused about the Minister of Music. Minister of Music is a is not a supply area, or there are supplies. All right. Okay. Yeah. I see it now.
Yeah. The salary. Okay. From the salary.
Steve.
Yeah.
I guess the trustees are assuming that we're going to have a Ministry of Music and continue with that trend. Being on the music committee, we haven't had a chance to meet since the annual meeting, but you could easily cut that number in half by getting a weekly organ player in here. And anyway, it's just, this was a decision made under the previous administrations, and I'm not sure if there's going to be a big change in that or not, but there should be discussion about that probably.
Sandy,
because I lived in the house with someone who had the obligation of finding an organist, and I am party to music people in the past, you do not go out and pick an organist off of the branch of a tree. They are far and few between. There are not many out there at all. And if they are out there, they are busy. And I can, as an example, there is a lady in New Ipswich who would love to come here and play. Every time we've tried to get her, she's busy elsewhere, because there are not enough organists for all the churches. So we have a minister of music. We have a very fine organist. He is far and above, better than most anything we've ever had before. He has the misfortune right now of dealing with cancer, and we have to support him through that process. But he has every intention of coming back, and I personally have every intention of supporting that.
Yes, Peter.
I just want to clarify. Steve is not, I don't think, if I understand correctly, he's not saying let's go and get another organist. He's saying we can deal with our musical needs without having an organist, and that as the music committee wants to probably discuss that and make some recommendations to the church, and therefore maybe this is an area we could say that. I'm not sure if I understood something correctly. I think that was what he's trying to say.
Just because we had one.
Yeah. Can I just say one thing as we consider and deliberate this? I don't know if we have a contract in place with Rob Fouchon, and if that contract is in place, whether it can be modified at this stage of the game. I just don't know. I mean, that's worth considering as we deliberate on this issue.
Jay,
a couple of things. Way back, going back, this was a decision that initiated, if my memory serves me correctly, at a council meeting. There was a difficulty with the music committee at the time, and this was how they decided to deal with it. It was, however, approved at a annual meeting of the Congregation of Church. Again, I go back to, and if I remember correctly, I think the title was changed, and I believe Barbara Holling made a motion to have that title to be a minister of music. And in answer to your question, we do have a covenant with a minister of music.
Can we fire him?
In these annual meetings, each meeting is a power unto itself. Typically, at a town meeting, you can vote against what the meeting of the year before had put into the budget. So this meeting here can decide to do something to overturn a past decision.
Just like we did with the food bank.
Rob.
Okay.
Rob, that one.
Thank you. I would like to speak in support of the excellent musicianship of Rob Cushon. I learned pipe organ as a kid in high school and college. 20 years of engineering put me not as confident as I used to be in those days, but he is worth a large amount to us. The core of a church is its worship, and he is one of the best musicians I've ever seen on a pipe organ. It's common for Yankee frugality to come in things like this, and we say, well, gosh, the guy's getting $45 an hour. I would point out that my car mechanic down in Peterborough gets 60 an hour, and I doubt he could do a note on that organ. So I think we ought to pay Rob very well because he has an incredible pedigree. On the other hand, there are places we can save money. Union, for example, has its choir rehearsal before church on Friday, 9 to 10. We did it today. And I think we could, and it's a question for the music committee, but we could look at doing that and we could cut down the hours and cut down the cost.
Barbara.
I was on the committee when we chose Rob as our minister of music. We had put out to the Guild of Organists looking for an organist, and some of the responses that we got, you would not believe. They were absolutely, some of them were horrifying. One who wanted to wait 6 months, he was in some foreign country, and so a couple of the others were okay. We interviewed one lady and had her all set up. We thought she played the organ well, she played the piano. She had all kinds of good ideas, and 45 minutes before she was to meet with us to confirm everything, she canceled. And then we again searched for an organist, and Rob answered along with a couple others. And Rob, we interviewed him, we asked him to play, and we thought he was wonderful, and we do have a contract with him. And yes, perhaps we can back off on some hours with him, but look at what he's done for us. We did put on that show, Amal, and The Night Visitor, and thanks to him, we did that. And if you could have seen the music that he had to play for that, it was unbelievable. He also took us to the church in, was it Winchester? And where the choir sang there one time, and a couple of their people came to join our choir here. He had some other ideas, but unfortunately he's sick right now and we need to support him. We really don't want to lose him because it is not easy to find an organist. We have a list of substitutes, and Peter Lombard was available, thank goodness, because a lot of times you can call him, and I called one person one time at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I got him, and he agreed to come and play. Now, that was pretty unusual. But you just can't get him at the very last minute. And Helen Emma, thank goodness, came in and substituted for us long times. And she isn't able to do that either. So you really got to think about what you want to do about your music, because I think that's part of worship. People like to sing. That is part of worship. Singing God's words in some of these hymns that we sing. Just look at the words. Do you ever pay attention to them? Some of these are really wonderful. So I really think music is a good part of our church.
I just would like to comment. I think it's more on the position and not the person. I think we can all agree that he is wonderful. So it's not the person. I think it's the position and what that position, you know, if you take Rob out of it and just look at the position and the hours and what the expectations are. We have no doubt that he's wonderful and he does great things, but it, again, it's not him personally, I think. It's the actual budget and how much we want to spend. So maybe Rob's suggestion, you know, you try to figure out, okay, hourly rate and what that looks like. So
I had a comment here, and that is when I first came here 4 years ago, it was an extraordinary experience. We had Tom Baker conducting, and we had Lisa Murray on the organ. Yes, she wasn't a Rob Couchon, but it was an extraordinary religious, faithful experience with those two. It was also extremely effective with a conductor conducting us, which is a problem we're having right now with just having an organist. The cost was about one quarter of what it cost to have Rob Couchon. I just want to bring that to the congregation's attention, if they want to consider that. And I also think that maybe, since this is an issue raised by Steve, and maybe it's a viable one to discuss, that maybe the music committee should research this and come up with a proposal and evaluate the situation and offer that to the council, the board, or the congregation to consider. But it, and also to evaluate the contract that he has with whether we have a problem, because that might be the deciding issue in this discussion.
With all due respect to Steve, I think that at this point in time, the trustees did leave the full amount in the budget, and you know this meeting's dragging on. I myself have to leave because I have something else to do. But I think it was a good conversation, and you know, Peter's suggestion is a good one, but maybe this is a time to move on.
You want to call the vote?
I mean,
do you want to call the question?
Any other discussion?
Yeah, I just want to bring that up. It's up. Yeah.
So we're just going to move? Okay. Okay. There's nothing really significant I see going down, except the bottom line from salaries is 98,000 versus 146 because of the ending gift to Linda High or whatever that's called. What's that? Oh, I'm sorry. This is a different category. I'm sorry. We're just talking about the salaries at the bottom. Yeah, okay. No, if you go back up, I think, wasn't that in there, Pastor?
It's under the 2015, but not 2016.
Yeah. I just want to say the significant total here differs there because of the package given to Reverend High when she left. That's why there's a difference. So employee expenses, pretty routine, nothing really significant there. Pastoral ministry, because of the reduction, because we're having pulpit supply, we don't have the financial requirements as if we had a settled minister. So it reduces the bottom line to 20. This is what was budgeted last year. This is what we actually did. But that's what we're recommending based on calculations that we made that we would need. Any questions? If not, we can just... Miscellaneous. Rob, can you roll that up a little? We were puzzled by the task force that was in, if you see task force, $10,000. We really know what that was, but Sandra explained that was part of a...
Sydney.
Oh, that was part of a...
Renovation,
exactly. Some renovation. So we zeroed that out. And then we had no discretionary funds, so we zeroed that out. Special missions.
No,
I'm sorry, what?
Discretionary funds was moved, and it's actually $4,000 in another line.
I'm sorry, exactly. I'm glad that Vicki clarified that. The discretionary fund is actually in a different category. It's $4,000, not two, so we doubled it. What happened to everything? Okay. And then that's special missions, and then this is this uncategorized expense. It's just again, it's a accounting error. The details are not really relevant. We reduced this budget to 2,000 from 3,000 last year, 15,000 to 2,000 from the report. So the bottom line, if we can just go to the bottom line, the total expenses last year were $302,711. I do want to mention one thing. We had a $30,000 capital improvement line item in last year's budget, but it wasn't added in the total, and we were totally mystified what was going on there. And when talking to Sandra and Emery, they said that was a capital improvement fund. They didn't want to add it in the budget, but they wanted us to see it. So the idea is if we do have something like that, there is a fund at the bank for capital improvements. We would put that on the balance sheet as something that could accrue over the years and then draw money from that in future budgets and allocate it. But this year, we're not planning on having any capital improvements. And just to let you know, capital improvements isn't fixing a broken toilet or a roof. It's really building an extension on the building, doing something new. So total expenses, $302 for the last year. Budgeted, $320,588. The budget report was 284. We come in at 228,566. Net revenue from the very beginning of the budget, last year 288. This year, the 15 actuals were 268. They budgeted and this was the face-based budget, they budgeted a deficit of 13.8. We actually came in with a deficit of $52,022. The report budget had a deficit of $9,968, and as mentioned to begin with, we think it's imperative that we try and get a balanced budget. We know we have some outstanding expenses that we'll deal with facilitation. So we've constructed a positive income greater than our expenses by $42,322.
Mr. Bernard.
If it's time, I would like to make a motion we accept this budget as corrected.
I was wondering what the time frame for the facilitative process is and how long until this church can know how much it has cost us for the demotion and the outing of its members and then reinstating them.
Because Michelle and Sandra are contacts with the facilitator, I don't know.
Margaret has told us that it's going to be a long process. She will work very hard and push us for the next two and a half months. And then come summer, she realizes that people kind of disappear into the woodwork or whatever, and we will pick it up again as needed in the fall. It won't just go away in summer, but it will back off. But it is going to be a long process because, in her words, we have a real mess here.
Can I speak? I feel really uncomfortable, but people are asking what the bills are, what is out there, and if I were you in shoes, I'd want to know too, and I feel as the congregation, you really should know. Mm-hmm. We had talked as the trustees that we really wanted to go, have it go through facilitation, because it is a hot topic. However, I really don't feel comfortable knowing this. And, you've been asked, and it's been asked, and I think, we've passed this budget. I think, share some numbers I think it's people's right to know. And I feel like holding it is in some ways a burden. I know I have a responsibility as a trustee to honor what we decided as a group. However, as the church, I think, you need to know, and we had thought that bringing it up in facilitation and sharing the amounts. But on the flip side, I really think that people have a right to know, and
I'd like to...
Just
real quickly, we do not expect to have to deal with this 6 months from now. We are going to ask her to accelerate the process of dealing with this particular issue, and I can't guarantee it, but I doubt we're going to be dealing with this in the fall. I'm certainly hoping it'll be resolved in the next month or two, primarily because there are law firms that are looking for their money, and therefore there is a requirement to decide that fairly soon. So that's my general sense. That wasn't speaking for myself.
Mm-hmm. There are three pertinent numbers, and I suggest we put it to the congregation, whether they want to know them or not, but it's late, and I would like to see my lunch. And so I move that we...
We can vote on the budget, and then you can make a motion,
yes,
to discuss further or adjourn.
Yes.
We should vote on the budget because we have a motion for it.
Okay, let's finish.
I'd like to hear from Marty first. I'd like to hear from Marty. She's had her hand up for a long time.
Thank you, Vivian.
I just wanted to remind you, in light of Kitty's question, that why we're all here having struggles is because this started over a year ago at our last annual meeting, and then it got vicious, and it has been a whole year, and you're not going to solve a whole year's issues in just 2 or 3 months. It may take us another year, but if it does and mends the church, isn't it worth it?
My take on this is that by knowing any numbers now or discussing it further, I don't feel that we can handle it, and that's why we have a mediator. Mm-hmm. And this mediator we have is professional and been doing it a while, and she knows what she's doing, and she's not going to be biased one way or the other by anybody, no matter who you are. And so I believe that by discussing this further, it's not going to do us any good here today. That's me stepping out of bounds as a moderator. You can certainly overrule me. That's fine.
Just one comment, Marty. We're not talking about resolving the facilitation in 2 months. We're talking about addressing the bills. I think we all understand there's much work to be done for the church. We're just talking about the invoices and the bills, part of the whole situation.
I would just like to make a comment to what Marty said, and of all of us sitting here, and remind us of our wonderful sermon this morning. Thank you. And that there are financial numbers, there are mediators out there, but this is our church and our community, and we're all responsible for our own behavior every moment of every day. And if we really believe in God and what we're doing here, you know, we need to just start that this second, if we haven't already started, and begin building our bridges immediately. And I think talking about numbers right now is not going to be constructive to us moving forward. And I think really,
I just want to say, I'm not asking these questions out of spite or to agitate anything. I'm asking these questions out of a feeling of safety. And my own mother was demoted. I just want to be clear. I'm sorry, you know, I'm not trying to agitate anything. Just wanted a time frame how long this facilitator process was going to take, because these are questions that I've had for a long time.
Yep, Cindy.
I think we all understand that feelings run very high, and that these questions are sensitive, and that people are going to feel very threatened as these discussions go on. I think the discussions need to go on where people feel protected, and where we have at that point developed a sufficient understanding of each other's feelings, motivations. I think we ask for forbearance. I know it's annoying not to have these numbers. They're not, you know, the numbers really, they're not significant to the long-term life of our church, but they are at this point sensitive, and I just ask your forbearance at this point. We'll have these discussions soon enough, and I hope the healing will begin very soon.
So I have a motion to call the question in a second. So all those in favor of calling the question on the budget, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. So our budget, the motion made by... Yeah, by Richard Bernardi.
Oh, yeah, that.
Yeah.
But did someone
call
the question?
Yeah, I think it was Rob who did it. Okay. So we have a motion by Richard Bernardi, seconded by... We have it in here. For our budget, on the screen here, we see the numbers 228 and 270, 42. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, by saying nay. That's a unanimous vote in the affirmative, and I so declare. Now, any other business regarding the budget? You don't need those, Nancy. But I would like to say, before I accept the motion to adjourn the meeting, it would be wonderful if our Reverend would please give us a closing prayer. Let's put you on the spot.
Thank you.
So at least we heard of it.
Welcome to the mega church with the.
Yeah, we didn't have any of this at all, so it's you're too progressive. Heavenly Father, we're thankful people that we, even though we may not agree, even though sometimes we're not fond of, still in your Christ we are one, north, east, south, and west. Our hearts and our minds expressed. Be with us. We give thanks that today we've been able to accept a budget within which we can live. Perhaps, guided by the Spirit, there are places where we can exceed, even go beyond our expectations. But send us forth from this place, knowing that we have worked one step forward with each other in your love. And for this, we give thanks. Amen.
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 Thank you, everybody. You did so much work.
I just wanted to make the announcement on the council meeting. Thursday the 14th. Thursday the 14th at 7.
That's
7. Yep.
Friendship Hall.
Yeah, Friendship Hall.
That's not good. Some people don't have a.
At this time, I will accept a motion from the floor to adjourn the meeting.
I make a motion.
Marty Heater.
Second.
Second by Pam Wooster. All those in favor of adjourning our meeting, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, meeting adjourned.